We give you all the viral stories that are just about to drop. Just please, oh please, oh please, oh please don't let this flop. If you keep scrolling, scrolling, scrolling and you're never gonna stop, then please, oh please, oh please, oh please don't let this flop. From stupid songs and dances, all the cultural advances, we will cover them from bottom to the top. Just please, oh please, oh please, oh please, I promise you'll appease our please, oh please, oh please don't let this flop.
Hi, I'm EJ Dixon.
And I'm Brittany Spanos. Welcome to Don't Let This Flop,
a podcast about internet culture brought to you by Rolling Stone. Did you know that we're all going goblin mode?
I've been going goblin mode.
I've been going goblin mode since I was born, essentially.
Yeah, I've been goblin mode since day one.
But apparently this is like a new thing. This is part of like the vibe shift that people have been talking about, that like everyone is going goblin mode now.
Where did goblin mode come from?
So a few weeks ago, there was this meme where someone tweeted a headline referring to a supposed quote from Julia Fox in which she said Kanye broke up with her because he didn't like it when she went, quote unquote, goblin mode. Vogue wrote it up, and there was this whole mini discourse over what goblin mode meant. And it was very embarrassing for Vogue and other outlets who aggregated it. Because goblin mode wasn't real. The quote wasn't real. The headline wasn't real. Julia Fox posted on her Instagram story saying that she'd never used the phrase goblin mode in her life. It was like kind of a hilarious example of people making up online trends and millennials and Gen Xers slaving away in the content mines, falling for it, which has happened before, right? People have, you know, done explainers about hell maxing and skeleton brunch. These are all things that like simply don't exist. That Zoomers just made up to fuck with people. But in the case of goblin mode, it actually is kind of a thing, especially now after this piece in The Guardian by Carrie Paul, who's your friend, right, Brittany?
Yeah, she'd been really excited for this piece to go up. And now I think she and our group chat have absorbed goblin mode into everything we do.
So how did she explain goblin mode to you?
Kind of just like being sort of feral, you know, like semi giving up and like giving in to your more feral and base instincts.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially how she describes it in the article. It's about, quote, embracing the comforts of depravity, spending the day in bed watching 90 Day Fiancé on mute while scrolling endlessly through social media, pouring the end of a bag of chips in your mouth, downing Eggo toaster oven waffles with hot sauce over the sink because you can't be bothered to put them on a plate. I mean, it's basically just being a fucking mess. And honestly, like, this describes pretty much every parent.
Yeah.
That I know. if not every person.
Yeah, it describes me on like most days off, you know?
It describes me on most days on.
Yeah.
Honestly, I just ate an eggplant parm hero in like 2 minutes in bed and there are crumbs everywhere and my cat is sitting on them and I use my cat to wipe my hands and
I just ate a pile of bacon in my hotel room kitchenette.
Oh, did you get bacon with your avocado bruschetta?
The poorly named avocado bruschetta, which is just avocado toast with some radishes on top. Yeah, I got some bacon on the side.
You sent me a picture. It looked disgusting.
It was actually pretty good. I mean, like, it's like California avocados, you know? So it's like, they're just really, really good. But the name was stupid.
Can I guess how much it costs?
Please do.
Okay. Please. All right. So this was room service from your hotel. Okay, and your hotel was in Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah. I don't know right? How much the bacon cost on top of it. Well, actually, I know how much the whole price was, but I know how much the actual just a plate of avocado bruschetta with eggs cost.
Okay. I am going to guess it cost $19.
That's the exact price. That is the exact price. That was the exact price in the menu. It's $19 for it. And it was in my effort to eat something green because the other options were bleak.
Well, you did a good job. You ate something green. You got out of goblin mode.
That was my... But the pile of bacon brought me back. Grounded
it's kind
me.
Of defined by like a total lack of an aesthetic, like sort of an opposition to the various aesthetics that dominate social media. And Carrie kind of talks about it in the context of the pandemic where we've all kind of given up on ourselves. I mean, I was doing this before the pandemic. I don't know about you.
I have no desire to go goblin mode publicly. It's like a part of my private life. Public bimbo, private goblin.
Yeah, how do you see this as sort of like, because a lot as we've talked about the bimbo, the rise of the bimbo, yeah. and a lot has been written about the rise of the bimbo aesthetic. Like, how do you sort of see this as like running counter to that or like in correspondence with it?
Well, I think like it's definitely like a Venn diagram that intersects pretty largely. Like, I feel like mm-hmm. there is this idea of messiness to the bimbo. Like, the presentation is a little bit more glamorous. Like, and I think like goblin mode is meant to be sort of, again, like more feral and more like base and like more sort of just like, you know, less, there's less glamour to that in terms of how it's presented. But I think the bimbo is sort of at root kind of messy. Like, you think of like, again, like Pamela Anderson and sort of the experience that she had in the 90s and like that kind of intersecting with the more glamorous kind of presentation that she had. So I think that's where it sort of intersects, where you are being sort of a hot mess, but it's emphasis on the hot.
Okay, let's do straight people.
Straight people.
I was so hesitant to talk about these people again.
But they just do such dumb stuff, and it's so hard to not talk about them.
It's so hard. Honestly, this is a plea for other straight celebrities to just like step up their game and start doing straight people shit. Yeah.
Do weird shit. Because, like, I don't want to talk about the same four people all the time, but here we are. We have to.
So these people are obviously Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian. I think Kanye, I would like to keep him as tangential as possible because he's just fucking lost his mind.
It's gone so beyond. But let's focus on Pete and Kim.
Yeah, it's so dark.
Yeah.
So basically, a few new things happened over the past week. They went public on Instagram, finally. Mm-hmm. Pete was going to go to outer space with Jeff Bezos. And then all of a sudden, he was just like, no, I'm not. I was just like in a silly Billy mood. And Pete got Kim's name branded into his flesh.
Branded like a farm animal.
Branded like a farm animal. Branded like a cult victim.
Yeah.
Very strange. But the way she talked about it on Ellen was like,
yeah.
I mean, she was very much like normalizing it.
He posted this the selfie, sort of, right? And they're reading into it, saying that there's a tattoo that says Kim.
Yeah, he has a few tattoos, a few cute ones, you know, that he got. But this one is the Kim one isn't a tattoo. It's actually a branding. Because he wanted to do something that was really different.
There is like a history with Pete and tattoos, right? Like, Pete has very famously gotten tattoos of every girlfriend that he has dated since he's been famous. There's like, when he was dating Cassie David, he got like a full on tattoo of her as a person on his body. He had like several matching tattoos with Ariana, like also tattoos about Ariana. They got matching 9/11 tattoos that I will never forget.
What? I didn't know about that.
So Pete Davidson's dad was a firefighter and died 9/11, as we know. And they had gotten matching tattoos memorializing his father.
Ariana did?
Yeah. And they both have since got it covered up, I think.
Oh, my God.
But also Pete's like a very heavily tattooed person. He's actually in the process of removing a lot of his tattoos, which Kim also talked about in the interview with Ellen, where he's like trying to get a lot removed. He's gotten like, he had like the, you know, Ariana's bunny symbol that she used mm-hmm. during her Dangerous Woman era. Mm-hmm. He had that tattoo and he got it covered. Like, he's gotten a lot of these tattoos covered.
He did a whole commercial about it.
Yeah. Like, he's gotten like the girlfriend tattoos covered. But the reason he got the branding was because he wanted it to be a scar that couldn't be removed. And unlike the other tattoos that he has. But yeah, he has like he already has several dedicated to Kim. The man loves a tattoo. He loves to hop. Tattoos take so long. That's what I don't get. I like just got two new tattoos. I don't like, I can't imagine getting so many in quick succession because it takes so long for them to heal. And like, I feel like I'm scared that I'm going to do something wrong the entire time because you have an open wound on your body.
Yeah, what's he doing? Is he just sitting at home, like, frozen and stasis?
Just covered.
Covered in, like, tattoos and sores? Like,
yeah.
It's weird. Maybe that's why he got branded. I mean, it's also, like, branding is also, like, a thing in the kink community, but this is definitely not, like, a kinky thing, I don't think. Like, he hasn't, like...
It's a very... Yeah, he's very, he's continued to get himself branded in, like, you know, like in lighter ways by his sort of romantic relationship. So, like, I guess it makes sense in terms of his own development as a deeply, like, dramatic person that he would get this next step to, like, prove his love and his devotion, because, like, he can't remove this in the way, or he can't cover it up or remove it in the way that he's done with every other ex in his past.
Yeah, people found it very weird and intense, but I agree. Like, this, it would be off-brand for him not to do this. You know? Like, this is all that he likes doing. Is
he also got a tattoo that's "my girl is a lawyer," even though Kim is technically not a lawyer yet.
I love that she thinks she's a lawyer.
Like, she is not, she cannot legally practice law. But he does have that tattoo, which that will be like covered up probably at some point.
But Kim and Pete are going strong. And honestly, like, this is kind of an unpopular opinion. I tweeted it and then deleted it because I just didn't want to deal with, like, being yelled at. But I think they're perfect for each other. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think they're cute. I don't think this is like a forever thing, but I think it's like a nice rebound relationship for Kim. And I think that they seem very happy. I do. I mean, I just, like, I think, like, with Pete again, like, he's, like, so extreme at so much of this stuff. And I think he needs to cool it on that. Like, I don't think the branding is necessarily the sign of a healthy relationship, you know?
No, but it's also not, I don't think it's specific to Kim. This is clearly a pattern that he has.
Yeah.
And it,
which is why I'm like, yeah. I don't think it's, like, the best thing for that to reach that level of extreme. However, I do think that they are very cute, and I hope that they have, like, a nice relationship. But I do, I'm given, as a longtime Pete Davidson stan who has followed him for many years, I don't think, when things have ended, it's historically not been well for his mental health. Like, the Cassie David breakup was, like, really bad. And I remember he was, like, hospitalized after that. And, like, he was, like, threatening to kill himself after the Ariana relationship ended, like, to the point where he was, like, locked in 30 Rock. And I think she was, like, trying to come see him. He had sent out, like, a lot of really alarming posts about it. I don't know that this ending will go well.
I don't know. I kind of think she seems like a very even-tempered person. Like, almost too.
Yeah, but, like, also look at the history of every single relationship in the Kardashian family. Have any of them ended healthy?
Well, they're narcissists. But so is Pete. Yeah. Pete's a fucking narcissist. They're both narcissists. But,
I mean, like, I think, like, when you look at, like, I hate bringing it up, but, like, the Kardashian curse, right? Like, I think, like, they've tended to be with men who have extremely horrible mental health issues that are unresolved by the time that they meet them, and then only gets worse from, I'm sure, like, the level of fame and attention that the Kardashians have, but also just because they're not getting, like, the same sort of support that they need for that. That is my concern. Given the Pete stuff, like, I think when it ends, I'm a little worried that it's going to be sort of like another sort of spiral.
And at the very least, like, Pete is much more, I think the big difference between Pete and Kanye, and the reason why I think he's much better for Kim than Kanye, is that they both struggle with mental illness, but Pete is, like, very much aware of that. And he was very public about the work that he does to, you know, recover. I believe he has borderline personality disorder.
Yeah.
And has been super open about that. And I think he's, like, one of the very few male celebrities who has been open about being diagnosed with BPD.
Yeah. And he sought, like, a lot of help since the sort of, like, Ariana thing that, like, when he was, you know, I don't remember the exact specifics, but I remember he was sort of, like, on the brink at that point for a lot of reasons. But I think he sought, like, a lot of help since then. And
yeah. And to go from somebody who, like, is deeply mentally ill and just unwilling and just digs himself further, like, keeps getting enabled and digs himself further and further into his mental illness, to somebody who's actually working on themselves, I think that's a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I hope they get – I want a Disney fairy tale wedding.
I mean, it could happen. It could happen. They do have a new show.
I want them to get married at Cinderella's castle, and I want it with an hour long special. And I want her to come out in, like, a Givenchy gown of the coach. Do you watch Disney Fairy Tale Weddings? No, you don't.
I don't either. Is that a show?
Yeah, it's a special. It's an ABC Family special.
Don't watch that.
Oh, it's the worst people in the world spending like $100,000 on a Disney wedding. I love it.
I hate it. I hate every description of that. I've never watched that show. Anyway, speaking of the memification of trauma that a Disney wedding sounds like it is. There's a chance that Gangnam Style remains preserved in 2012 resin for you. Untouched by a near decade of viral culture that's followed Psy's one hit wonder.
It's peak music. I just want to say that.
It's peak music, yeah.
It's the best song ever written.
Yeah. The silly little dance hit, however, has found a new life on TikTok, becoming the soundtrack to a wacky new trend that finds the humor in some rather unique trauma. So the trend goes like this. And you've seen a lot of these videos, right? Mm-hmm. I get them like every other video at this point because I like all of them. But there's so many. So the trend goes like this. It's a mashup of Gangnam Style and Steve Lacy's End Side that plays, which just kind of turns Psy's song into like a little bit jazzier. And so the video cuts between two slides, the shot, then the chaser. The first slide is a video of the user staring down the camera, and there's usually overlay text setting the scene. So saying something like, and this is a quote from a real one, "Mom has COVID, but she doesn't have any pre-existing conditions, so it'll be fine." The next slide always uses the image spin effect, which shares a single image in kind of multiple bubbles that spin around the screen. Kind of looks like a PowerPoint slide to me. And in that particular video's case, the next image was a pic of her mom's coffin covered in flowers. And that is like an image kind of bouncing around the screen in multiple bubbles. Look, it's objectively not funny, especially when I try to explain it. That is not a funny story. That's a horrific end to that. But the thing is that all these videos are kind of funny, which is like insane. I think it's like the presentation. It's that Psy's Gangnam Style is playing underneath this entire thing. And no matter if it's someone having an especially bad period only to find out that they're pregnant, or another user's fiance being really quiet one day only for her to find out that he was plotting her murder, it's always like a little bit weirdly funny. So at the time of recording this, the Gangnam Style trauma dumping trend has nearly 400,000 videos under the audio tag. And it's pretty much taken over the app, peppering videos of couple meet cutes and celeb gossip. It also speaks very clearly to a bigger trend on TikTok and among Gen Z, which is the memification of trauma. This feels like a direct product of these quote-unquote unprecedented times we're living in, where teens and young adults have found comfort in finding the humor and content in some horrific experiences. And the wild thing is that Gangnam Style isn't the only audio trend where people can do this at the moment, and certainly not the first since TikTok rose to prominence. My other favorite is the audio bite from user CC No Char, whose original video is her trying to figure out why her croissant lightly explodes in her microwave.
Why the fuck would that happen? It's a croissant.
And it's created a similar shot meet chaser type of trauma video trend. As one user mouths along to, "Let's see, watch this, y'all," the overlay text notes that she invited her dad to visit her at college in an effort to get closer. Her exploding croissant, her dad revealing that he had romantic feelings for her. Again, not funny. However, in the way it's presented, kind of funny. So some people find trends like these exploitative, and I fully disagree. This is coping, the same way people look at what writers or artists do. For every 10 comments expressing complete shock at each person's revelation, there's at least one who relates and didn't realize that anyone else had experienced that or didn't know how to laugh at the situation until they saw those videos. More than anything, everyone is allowed to do whatever the fuck they need to do to get through the day. Life is short. Let the kids trauma bond to Gangnam Style.
Yeah. And I kind of think, I mean, we haven't really talked about this much because we kind of try to keep it on the lighter side. But TikTok is definitely home to like a lot of like a trauma industrial complex, yeah. Like a lot of people self-diagnosing themselves or saying that like various impulses or instincts that they have are the result of like their, you know, long-standing trauma or, you know, their autism or their ADHD or some sort of, you know, diagnosis that they may or may not have. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think this is like a healthier extension of that. Like these are experiences that are actually traumatic, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, like, if you go under the tag, I mean, it's really wild what people have been through and are sharing. And like each one, I mean, I think it's because they have become almost like they feel so over the top almost. Like they feel so like the stuff that people have experienced and using for this particular trend is so insane sometimes. Like it's just like really wild to like see what people have been through and also like are finding humor in to use it for.
It is. I'm very happy to see that song return. My son, Saul is like deeply, not so much anymore, but like when he was two, it was like, Psy was his favorite person in the world.
Really?
Psy was his Mickey Mouse. Yeah. Like he would like shake all over when he saw the video for Gangnam Style or like Gentleman or New Face, like Psy's lesser. I think we probably were responsible for like a quarter of Psy's streams in the year 2018.
He's the reason why Psy has come back.
I'm a big Psy fan.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was other songs.
Oh my God, there are so many other fabulous songs in his oeuvre.
I hope Psy is doing well. I hope he's making some good money.
I think he made his money. I think he's fine. I don't think you need to worry about him.
I hope he's having a nice life. So we have some celeb gossip that's not Kardashian related. It's very exciting.
It is. With two people who I really care a lot about, too.
Yeah. So I'll give some context in case you're listening to this and you don't know who the Duff sisters are. But before the Kardashians or the D'Amelios, Hillary and Hailey Duff are the ultimate sister act. Hillary, of course, rose to prominence via Disney and the beloved Lizzie McGuire, one of the best shows ever made. And her older sister, Hailey, gained fame by being Hillary's sister. But she has some breakup moments on the latter seasons of Seventh Heaven and the cult indie film Napoleon Dynamite, which is still very good. I actually rewatched it pretty recently. But the two were always very close, even as Hailey's career never really took off. Hillary, on the other hand, has always maintained a pretty incredible level of fame and public goodwill for a former child star. Like, she's always been beloved. There's never been a year where I think people were like, Hillary Duff fell off. Like, she's always kind of maintained relevance in a really wild way.
Yeah, she was known as like the normal former child
star. She seems to have like a very grounded normal life while being like one of the most beloved child stars turned adult actors.
She also took pap BJ pics, as we've mentioned in a prior
episode. I mean, again, iconic,
very relatable,
iconic, so iconic. But according to TikTok user at Jordy Cray, however, this sisterly bond may have been broken. So Jordan made a series of videos outlining some evidence he's compiled showing that the sisters have become distant in the last couple of years, at least on social media, which is something that I would not have noticed because I do not follow either of them, but also breaks my heart because Hillary and Hailey Duff were always so close.
Hello, everybody. I'm here today to tell you why I believe that Hillary Duff and her sister, Hailey Duff, are no longer on speaking terms and haven't been since January 2021.
So he first noticed that something was off when Hillary stopped liking Hailey's Instagram posts in January 2021. Of course, Hailey has liked some since then, but mostly like career stuff for Hillary. So like How I Met Your Father, like one of those like promo posts, like Hailey liked that. But Hillary had not liked anything on Hailey's Instagram. He then recalled that the pair have not taken a photo or a video with one another in at least 2 years. This is suspicious because prior to that, the pair were all over each other's social media pages. And again, when they were younger, they went everywhere together. They were very close. Their family is very close. And they are also both very active on Instagram. Like, they're people who are literally always using Instagram or any sort of social media platform. Like, they are, like, very highly active. As is Hillary's husband, singer-songwriter Matthew Koma, who doesn't even follow Hailey on IG. And Matthew Koma is someone who also is highly active across social media. He's made a series of very viral TikToks about songs he's written and also about Hillary Duff. And he's just like he's also very active. He's not like a kind of random person. So on top of that, Hailey has mentioned in interviews that she hasn't met her sister's newborn child, who was born in March 2021. So Jordan's multi-part series makes a good case for some beef. A commenter pointed out that Hailey was not in a single photo from Hillary's wedding to Matthew in December 2019 and may not have attended at all. So Hailey had been the maid of honor in Hillary's first wedding, which makes it weird that there were no photos shared of the two this time around.
Very weird.
Super weird. Adding on to the potential mess was a series of broken heart emojis that actress Jamie Lynn Sigler had left on a video Hillary posted of her new husband walking down the aisle with Hillary's eldest son. A broken heart is certainly a weird thing to comment on a wedding post, but Jordan points out that Jamie Lynn and Haley are actually best friends and live in Austin near each other, which makes the case that she knows something we clearly do not. I think, like, if someone left broken heart emojis on, like, a wedding photo that I had posted, I would be very pissed.
Well, it could mean just like, oh my God, this is breaking my heart because it's so cute.
Well, that's what, so Jordan and his TikTok is sort of trying to put it together, but it's still like, it's a little weird, mm-hmm. You know, like it's like a weird, it's like, oh, like, why wouldn't you just put, oh, this is so cute. Like a broken heart is like a strange thing. But again, especially coming from someone who is best friends with her sister who was maybe not at the wedding, as far as the photos show, makes it a little bit more suspicious.
Very weird to not have your sister at your second wedding if she was your maid of honor at your first. That's yeah. Very weird.
Also, like, there's just literally no, there's a like, ton of photos that Hillary posted of the wedding day, that Matthew posted of the wedding day. There's like a photo of Hillary and her mom getting ready for the wedding. There's none of Haley in them. Mm-hmm. It's weird that like there would not be a single one shared of two sisters at a wedding. So just days after Jordan's video went viral, Hillary liked a random photo on Haley's Instagram of her sister's kids 4 days after the photo had been posted, marking their first social media contact in a year. It's giving damage control. So neither Duff sister has commented officially on the rumors of a feud. This is largely being deduced from social media interactions, so of course take it with a major grain of salt. For fans of the Duffs and drama, tongues have been wagging in the comments, trying to assume what went down. Do Haley and Matthew hate each other? Haley wasn't at the wedding. Matthew doesn't follow Haley on Instagram. It could be the actual marriage is a source of dispute. Was this over politics or COVID? Per EG's recent reporting on the anti-vaccine stance of the Austin-based James Vanderbeek family, Haley has spent time in their circles down there, though that doesn't necessarily say anything about her own take on vaccines. For what it's worth, Jamie Lynn has also liked some vaccine critical and anti-vaccine posts.
Brittany, I did some reporting on this this morning because yes. I was dying to know. So I did some, yeah. I did some like social media forensic work.
Yeah.
And I didn't find out much. I had known from that story that I did, basically, you know, the Vanderbeeks are involved in this Austin influencer celebrity circle of people, of celebrities who have moved from LA to Austin during the pandemic. And, you know, James Vanderbeek and his wife in particular have been in, you know, anti-vaxxer circles. Like there's a photo on Instagram of them posing with J.P. Sears, who is a very, very, very prominent anti-vax influencer. Kimberly has donated to some anti-vax campaign. And Haley travels in these circles. Like there are photos. Yeah. She follows Kimberly Vanderbeek and there are photos of her, you know, hanging out with the same people that they hang out with. So that, you know, that's not evidence in itself, but like it does sort of suggest that's.
And the timing, of course, because the last time that Hillary had interacted with Haley was January 2021. And that's around the time that vaccines were being rolled out. Of course, Hillary was pregnant at the time. She gave birth to her last child in March of 2021. That's, you know, there's a lot sort of in terms of the timing that makes it more sus.
Yeah.
The fact that around the time that vaccines are being rolled out and decisions are being made and people's stances are becoming more clear on where they feel about the vaccine was happening, was objectively happening in January 2021.
We know that Hillary is liberal. She donated $30,000 to the DNC in 2011, according to Open Secrets. I really went deep. this morning and $2,500 to Obama's campaign, but we don't know Haley's politics. She has not donated to any campaigns. She is not registered with either party, so it could be something else like we have entirely no inkling about.
Yeah, and again, they could be fine.
They could,
for all
I don't
know.
Think they're fine. I don't think that's not something that happens. You don't not invite your sister to your wedding.
Well, the thing is, we don't know for sure. That we just might not have we don't have the entire photo album. We're deducing everything from social media. That's exactly the point of the series, is like everything is being deduced from what's been shared on social media. Haley has continued to give quotes about Hillary in interviews. She's talked about, you know, the newborn child. Of course, like a lot of it's been like, I haven't met the baby yet. I didn't get to spend Christmas with the family. Like there are things that are suspicious, but there is no sort of direct thing where either of them have said that they are no longer talking. So of course, this is all very, this is just people kind of speculating from social media. But yes, it is weird that there are no photos shared from it, but we've only seen a sampling of photos from the wedding.
But she, of course, she would post the photos that have right, Haley like, in it. Like, I mean, that's just a good branding move.
Yeah, I would do that. Yes. Apparently, there was a photo that may have been Haley's daughter in the photo, but it could have just been like the kids were invited. Someone, but there's no confirmation that that was Haley's daughter, but it looked similar to one of Haley's kids. So it's, you know, it's, I think there's a clear way that this looks, but we don't know for sure why it's this way.
Oh, I also forgot to mention, Haley was following Candace Owens.
Oh?
Regarding her, you know, political views. And which doesn't, you know, that's not evidence in itself. I follow Candace Owens, although obviously not for reasons that have to do with my own personal views. Like out of just intellectual, like professional curiosity. But I looked again this morning and she no longer follows her. So I think you're right that there is some damage control going on here.
Yeah. I think like also, I think like Matthew Comeau is pretty liberal as well. I think his politics are pretty left as well. But yeah, I wonder if like, I wonder if there's like a source. My theory is that it started with like Matthew. And I wonder if, like Haley might have been sort of Trumpy. Here's my theory about it. None of this is true. But I think Haley might have been kind of Trumpy. Matthew was probably against that because he doesn't follow her. She follows him. Hillary was probably like, oh, it's fine. It's my sister. And then was like, it's still a little weird.
Yeah.
But, like, Matthew and Haley clearly stopped getting along. Pandemic happened. They still sort of, like, stay close. But, like, obviously, they probably weren't seeing each other as often. Then of course we get to post-election vaccine rollout, all this other stuff. The politics become harder to ignore. Haley has moved to Austin to be around people who have potentially similar politics or differing politics from at least her sister. And now they are no longer talking, but also trying to cover up the fact that they no longer talk.
I think that makes a lot of sense only because it's happened to so many other families in the past 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like this would not be a unique thing to them. But it's sad. That's really sad.
It's sad. I mean, I do hope that they are okay. And that the speculation is false, but you know, we'll see. But it's very clear that no matter what, the vibes are off between the Duff sisters.
And if you have any tips about what's really going on with the Duff sisters or any other celebrity sisters, really. Yeah.
Send us your celeb gossip.
Yeah, please. Oh my God. Send us your non-celeb gossip. I want to know what's going on in your personal lives to people that I don't give a fuck about.
Yeah, we don't want to have to talk about Kimye and Pete and Julia Fox every week.
Please no.
We will.
We will.
We don't have to, but we will. We're happy to do it, but, you know.
Just
more Duff sisters.
Yeah, more Duff sisters, please. I can't believe these guys haven't been our Himbo of the Week yet.
Well, they technically weren't. They haven't been as viral since we started the podcast. Like their big moment happened long before we had the podcast.
That's true. I've been noticing like a renaissance in their content, so to speak, which I'm very happy about. Because, okay, so we're talking about the Voros twins. They're these Canadian-Hungarian wrestlers. And they basically established the template for Himbodom on TikTok. They're like dumb, marginally cute, and they just post like wholesome, blockheaded content on TikTok. Their whole thing is how Himbo they are. And they got famous because they're the guys behind the Davinci sound that went viral a few years back. They were playing some sort of trivia game, and this is what they said.
How are we supposed to know who painted the Mona Lisa?
Oh, yeah.
Da Vinci?
I mean, to be fair, I don't know the answers to a lot of these questions either.
Yeah.
Like one of the questions is like, what's in bones? Like, I don't know, meat? I don't know what's in bones. Do you know what's in bones?
Marrow?
Right, but like, what is that? You know?
I don't know.
Yeah, what the
is
fuck
that not
is
the answer?
I don't know.
Is it marrow just part. Marrow?
Because it's none of my business. It's none of my business what's in my bones. Like, that's, and it's not their business either. Like, nobody's getting paid to know this. Unless you're a doctor, like, nobody's getting paid to know what's in your bones. I did know who painted the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
But that's only because I went to a liberal arts school.
Yeah.
And for no other reason. I've been really loving their content lately. I don't know how much of it is an act. Like, I'll be real. I think they really, yeah, they lean into their dumbness quite a bit. But I don't care. It tickles me. I love them.
Guys, our oven is breaking. Listen to the sound it makes. Give me a second, I need to get my story straight, my friend.
And the best part of it is there's no incest.
Surprise twist.
Surprise twist. We are promoting twins on TikTok who have not kissed.
Congrats to us.
Like, finally. you can't be a twin, a hot twin on TikTok without at least hinting at incest.
Yeah.
But congratulations to the Voros twins for not kissing. For not being,
we love them.
For not being incest twins. That's, yeah, that's really quite a feat. I'm proud of you guys.
Thanks so much for listening to Don't Let This Flop, brought to you by Rolling Stone and Cumulus Podcast Network. Written and hosted by me, Brittany Spanos, and EJ Dixon. Executive produced by Jason Fine, Richard Shelsey, and Elizabeth Garber-Paul, and edited by Dan Stein. Original music composed by Daniel Marzleft.